Well, if you open your Bibles this morning, two places, please. Open to 1 Peter chapter 2, and hopefully you kept your position in Isaiah chapter 53, because we'll go over there and take a look at a few things there in Isaiah chapter 53. As we continue to look at our series this morning on living as holy people, part 4, the role model of holy people. The role model of holy people. In 1 Peter chapter 2, as we walk through the book of 1 Peter, just to give you a quick refresher very quickly, we looked at chapter 1 and we talked about the salvation that we have, the glorious salvation, the joyous salvation, the wonderful salvation, and we looked at why we have salvation and who gave us salvation and what the salvation is for. And then Peter moved us from that into 2 Peter and why we need to live as holy people, because we have salvation. And if we have salvation and God has given us salvation and it's come from God, and that's the whole purpose of the Lord's Supper table, then we need to do something with salvation. Amen. I mean, God just didn't give us salvation so that we could have fire insurance, did he? I mean, he didn't just give us salvation so that then we'd go home and sit in our closets. He gave us salvation to do something with it. And so Peter moved us from that salvation that God gave us, that glorious, joyous, wonderful salvation. And he said to us, he said, hey, I want you to go out and live as holy people. I mean, he said to us in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, God said, live as holy people because I am holy. Well, not Jonathan, I'm not holy, but God said he's holy, right? Amen?
Amen.
Now, if you don't say amen once in a while, we're going to be here all day. I'll get you to say amen. Because you know I can talk a long time. I can get Mike to lock that door for you. So in First Peter chapter 2, Peter begins to lay out what it means to live as holy people. Now, we talked about a few things, but before I give you those few things, I want you to see a curious statement that he gives us towards the end of chapter 2. We've walked our way through chapter 2, and we're in our fourth week of chapter 2 now. And I want you to notice something here that he says in verse 22, because that's where we are. Chapter 2, verse 22. We're going to bounce back and give you a little synopsis of chapter 2 here in just a moment. But before I do that, I want you to see something that he says in the beginning of verse 22 or 21 of chapter 2. For you were called to this. Now, you all know, if you've hung around with me long enough and you've been in enough Bible studies, you know that I like to look at little phrases that are in the Bible. I like to look at it, and sometimes I get really, really, I don't know, too focused sometimes on little phrases. But this kind of caught my attention. For you were called to this. And I said to myself, called to what? Called to this. Well, what did he mean? For you were called to this. What is Peter talking about? For you were called to this. And so I begin to think about this. So I said to myself, you were called to this. You were called to renounce. Well, this is what he talked about at the beginning of the chapter, right? You were called to renounce your selfish life. Remember what he said at the beginning of chapter 2. So rid yourself, in verse 1, rid yourself of all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander. Live like newborn infants. You are called to renounce your selfish life. You're called to renounce that life that just causes you to live like the world. You're called to renounce that life that causes you to be everything that God does not want you to be. You're called to live a life that looks just like everything that the world sees and nothing what God wants to see. You're called. Get rid of that. Well, what else did I think I see there? You're called to a better relationship with Christ. Well, we found that later on. You're called to be living stones. Verse 4, come to Him, a living stone, rejected by men, chosen to be valuable to God. Living sacrifice is acceptable unto God. Verse 5. I'm giving you the synopsis. We're moving very fast, right? If you've been here the last few weeks, you've seen all this stuff. So Peter is telling us that we are called to this. We are called to renounce our former life. We're called to have a better relationship with Christ. And then I think he's saying that we are called to this. We are called to respect authority. We talked about that last week. We are called to respect authority, employers, and everyone else. He tells us that. He tells us that in verses 13 and on. Submit to every human authority because of the Lord, whether the emperor as the supreme authority or the governors as those that are sent by them to punish those who do evil or to praise those who do good. For it is God's will. And then we looked at Romans 13, right? Because God puts those people into place. Listen, whether you like it or not, God is in charge. Now, listen, I don't like some of the people that are in authority, but God's the one that's in charge. And listen, I vote, you better vote, and if you vote and we lose, we lost. But listen, God is still in charge of who's there. God is in charge. If you have done your job, done your responsibility, done your due diligence, God is the one that is in charge. I don't have time to go through all the stuff. Get the tape from last week. You can listen to it. I preached on the whole thing. But God's in charge. So you are called to this. To be a role model to the world of what it means to be a Christian, to live a life in Christ. That is what you're called to. Write that down. That's some good stuff. It only comes out of my brain one time. Not sure where it came from. I was sitting at breakfast. That's where it came. To live a life like Christ. To suffer for His sake. To be like Christ. Walk in His ways. Well, that's pretty difficult. It's hard. It's hard, is it not? But listen, this is what God called us to. In Leviticus chapter 19, verse 1, the Lord said to Moses, tell the children of Israel to do this. Be holy, because I, Yahweh, your God, am holy. Quote. Huh. Now, if God told Moses to tell the children of Israel that, I don't think that changed for us. Amen? I wasn't kidding about the amens. If God says to be holy, then we should live like holy people. So we need a role model in which to follow. We need a good role model in which to follow. So Peter says, for this you were called. He is summing up the whole chapter 2, I believe. For this you were called. Because Christ left you this kind of example. Christ left you this kind of example in His suffering, something for you to follow. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. Some of the best role models you will ever find are people who have suffered. Are you hearing me? Some of the best role models you will ever find are people who have suffered. Not people who have gotten everything given to them. Listen to me, kids. You kids, look up here. The best role models are not the people that get everything handed to them. But the people who work hard, your parents. The people who work hard to get what they got, most of the time are the best role models. The people who suffer day in and day out are the best role models. You know why? Because they appreciate the things that they have. They understand where they come from. They know that where they work up from. You just talk to some of these people. Now sometimes they get arrogant. I mean, let's be honest. So sometimes they get they're just out of control. But for the most part, you talk to people you talk to people that came to this country with nothing and built themselves from nothing to something, and they'll tell you about that. Right? We all know about that. But you talk to people that's just been handed it right from the get-go. Look for somebody that suffered. And our Christ suffered, did he not?
Amen.
He suffered. I mean, let's talk about that for a moment. He was born in a manger. How many of you here this morning were born in a manger? I mean, the closest that most of you could ever be born was probably in a house. Now, your house might have looked like a manger, but I doubt it was. Frank might have been close to a manger, but I doubt it. I mean, even he was probably still born in a hospital. No? Well, you were close to a manger then, weren't you? Yeah. See, I told you. Frank, close to the manger. You know, there you go. Jesus, born in a manger. Among animals. I mean, think about that. The low of lows. Who come visit him? Shepherds, not kings. The kings didn't even come visit him until he was 2. Thereabouts. Look at his life. He went off to Egypt and so on, and he grew up, and he was persecuted almost right out the get-go, and even in his ministry he was chased every place he went, and he was hated the whole time, and he's persecuted and he suffered, and then his real suffering happened at the cross, and so there we go. And so Christ's life is suffering, and in his suffering we have something to follow. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are looking for a life that is perfect, with no suffering, with no agony, with no pain, with no hiccups, with no bumps in the road, with no issues, then you are, I don't know where you are. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know where you're going. I'm not even sure what planet you're living on. And if you think that's what the Christian life is like, you're mistaken. Because it won't be like that. Because even the leader of the Christian life, Jesus Christ, his life was not like that. And if his life, the leader, was not like that, then the followers' lives will never be like that. And I don't know one single follower Christian whose life is like that. All of Christians' lives have suffering in it. The question is how do we deal with that suffering? Well, let's take a look at that in the few moments that we have left this morning. I want you to look at verse 21 through 25, and then we're going to move to Isaiah, okay? And we're going to do this very quickly this morning. Verse 21. For you are called to this, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you shall follow in his steps. He did not commit sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he was suffering, he did not threaten, but entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that having died to sin, we might live for righteousness. You have been healed by his wounds. For you were like sheep going astray, but you have now returned by the shepherd and guardian of your souls. First of all, he is our sinless Savior. He is our sinless Savior. Verse 22, he did not commit sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. Now listen, we will not be sinless, but we have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and because we have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, we are no longer bound by sin. We are no longer bound by sin. We are no longer under the bondage of sin. We have been set free. Amen? Amen? Many of us still walk around feeling like we are bound by sin. Many of us feel like we are still stuck in sin. Many of us feel like we are still held down by sin. The reason you still feel like that is because you have not released everything to God. Listen to me. Look right here at me. The reason you feel that way is you have not released everything to God. You have not brought it right here to the altar. Sometimes the problem with me not working out the entire message is I can't think of all the illustrations. I should have brought luggage with me because this is the perfect place for it. You're still hauling the luggage around with you. You came in with the luggage and you're going to leave with the luggage. I should have brought all kinds of luggage. I only have a little bit, but I should have brought some. I should have gave it to you because you could have walked out with it because that's what you came in with. And you like it. Yep, Pastor, I got my luggage. I got the luggage. Hey. Heaven forbid I leave that thing at the altar. Can't do that, because if I leave it at the altar, then that means I'll be free. And I can't be free. Because if I'm free, then I'll know what that means. And I can serve God. And I don't want to do that, because I'm afraid. Guess what? We're all afraid. But I got something greater. I got a sinless Savior who gave me the example. And He went to the cross and He died and He set me free. And I don't ever have to be afraid again because I have Jesus Christ in my life. And because I have Jesus in my life, I can leave everything right here at the altar. That's what this cup was for. And that's what this bread was for. And that's why we did the Lord's Supper here. Because He left it all at the tree so that we could leave it all at the altar. And we don't have to carry it around anymore. That's the example of the sinless Savior. And if you're hauling that around with you, then you need to drop it at the front this morning. That's the example that He gave for you. Second, He is our sacrifice. I just kind of talked about that. He became sin so that you have no more sin. It said in verse 24, He bore our sin in His body to the tree so that you have no more sin, so that you can have righteousness, and by His stripes you are healed. You know, I tell you what, I mentioned this the other day, and I want to mention it right here to you so that you understand this. Don't ever let anybody say this to you because this is absolutely incorrect. I've heard people say this, and hopefully I get this right, but this is wrong. I have heard people say, when you start getting sick, you tell Satan, because Satan is the one that gives you sickness, which is wrong, by the way, just so you know. Sickness will come on you for a variety of reasons. Sometimes you get sick because you did things wrong. Okay? You can get sick because of sin. You hear me? I'm not going to go into that. You just kind of figure that out for yourself. But you can get sick because you sinned. Do you need me to explain that to you? Yeah? You can get sick because of sexual sin, right? There's sexual reasons you can get sexual illnesses. Okay, that's if you went out and did things you're not supposed to sexually, you can get sexual sins. It doesn't always have to be that way, but there's other things that you can do. Maybe you're in the wrong place. Maybe you went someplace you weren't supposed to, and so you got a cold, right? Your parents told you to stay inside. You went outside. You got a cold. That you sinned. You're disobedient. So you can get sin, or you can get sick because you're disobedient because of sin. It happens. Okay. You can get sick just because you get sick. Now, some people want to tell you that you get sick because you got demons. I want you to understand something. If you have Jesus Christ in your life, you can't have a demon in your life. The Bible tells you that if you have a strong man in you, he first must bind the strong man before the weaker can enter your life. And if Jesus is in your life, the Holy Spirit's in your life, the devil can't ever enter your life unless you let him in. Don't let people tell you you got a demon of cold and a demon of flu. That's nonsense. That's the biggest nonsense I've ever heard in my life. And I'll tell you, Christians will tell you that stuff. Don't let them tell you that. Now, you may think I've deviated, but there's a reason I'm telling you all this stuff. Because I have heard people say, when you're sick, all you got to do to the devil is say, you just go look at the back of Jesus and tell Jesus to rip his shirt off and look at the wounds and just say, by his stripes I'm healed and I can't be sick no more. That's nonsense, because that's not what that verse means when it says, by His stripes I'm healed. That isn't what that verse means at all. That has nothing to do with physical healing. That verse has to talk with everything about spiritual life. Are you with me? Are you with me? That verse is talking about spiritual healing. When Christ took that whooping, when Christ took the beating, when Christ took the spear in the side, and that's what we're talking about in Isaiah, when Christ did all of that, look what this says right here, what Peter is saying. He bore our sins, in verse 24, on the tree, so that having died to sin, we might live in righteousness. You have been healed by His wounds. How were we healed? We were healed because of His shed blood. That's how we were healed, by His wounds. By His death on the cross, the nail pierces in His hands and His feet, by the spear side, by the spear in His side, by those wounds, we were healed on the cross. That's how we were healed. We were healed because we were destined for hell. We were destined for a place that we could not get from. We were sick. We were spiritually sick. We had a sickness that could not be healed by any other means than the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And that wound that He took on the cross, that wound healed us and brought us from a place of death and despair to a place of life and greatness. That's the wounds that healed us. And that's how those wounds healed us. Are you with me? Amen? The third thing is that He is our Savior. We just talked about His wounds healing us, and look what it says in verse 25, for He is like the shepherd. He says, He is the shepherd. We are like the sheep gone astray. We've wandered all over the place, and He can draw us home. I love the Psalms, don't you? You love the Psalms, amen? Amen. Psalms 23 is one of the great Psalms. We read it all the time. Sometimes we miss that psalm, but that psalm says that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I wonder sometimes if we really pay attention to that when we read that, I shall not want. Think about that. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But we are like the sheep gone astray, and we wander all over the place. Is the Lord really our shepherd that we shall not want? Will we let God lead us beside the still waters and in the green pastures? Will we let His staff and rod guide us through the valley of the shadow of death? Will we let Him prepare us a table in the presence of our enemies? Will we let Him do all of those things? Or are we still trying to haul that baggage down the street? Are we letting God be our example? Or are we still trying to do it our own way? I want you to flip to Isaiah 53. It's amazing to me, it's always amazing to me, even though I know the Bible is true and honest and pure. But it's always amazing to me when you find a passage like Isaiah 53, who lays out clearly what God was going to do and what Jesus was going to do on the cross long before He did it. In Isaiah 53, we find a passage of Scripture that tells us what Christ was going to do at the cross. I read it to you earlier this morning, so we don't need to read it, but I want to point out a couple things to you here in this passage of Scripture as we close this morning. I want you to look in verse 3. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of suffering who knew what was sickened, who knew what sickness was. He was like someone people turned away from. He was despised, and we did not value Him. You know what's amazing about that verse right there is that we still do that to Christ today. We still do not value Him. And even as Christians, sometimes we don't value Christ. Or we walk around and you say, well, Pastor, how's that possible? I have Him in my life. I've accepted Him as my Lord and Savior. I'm here in church and I do this and this. But do you value who Christ is? We're going to close this service in just a few minutes, and we're going to sing a song, I Surrender It All. All to Christ I owe. I'm going to give Him everything. I surrender all. Those three words, I surrender all. Really? Well, you know, Jesus, I know you want me to surrender all, but man, you just don't quite get it. You just don't quite get it, God. You know, you just don't get it because I'm just still, you just don't get it, dude. I might be able to give you like 20% maybe. Well, no, let me think about that. Hold on. Could you handle 18 maybe? Yeah, I know you died on the cross and I know you gave your all and I know you shed all your blood and I know you were nailed there and I know you laid in the grave for 3 days and I know you rose again and I know you did all that stuff and I know you came down from your glory and that was pretty awesome and I know that you'd born in a manger and that was terrible but you just don't get it, man. It's just, man, you just don't get it. You just don't get. I know the Bible says you're tempted every way we are, but man, you just don't get it. My life is terrible. You know, my sister, you just don't quite get it there. My brother, you just don't quite get it. Man, my parents, boy, hold on a second. I gotta call. Man, Jesus, you just don't quite get it. You know what I'm saying? No? Yeah. How many more excuses do you have? How many more excuses do you have to not surrender all to Christ? Oh, I know. I'm too old. Too fat, too ugly. Don't have enough money. Not smart enough. I don't know enough Bible. Well, this goes on and on. Verse 4, yet he himself bore our sicknesses and he carried our pain. But we in turn regarded him stricken, struck down by God and afflicted. Verse 6. We all went astray like sheep. We all have turned to our own way. And the Lord has punished him for the iniquity of us all. Do you see that? Jesus was punished for you and 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 me. Over there in 1 Peter chapter 2, it said he had no sin. He knew no sin. He was sinless. And yet over here in Isaiah, it said that he was punished for us. And yet he knew no sin. So why was the guy that knew no sin punished for us? How would you like to be punished for something somebody else did? So all he asks for you to do is to surrender your life to him. Jesus is the role model. Will we follow the role model? Will we follow the role model? Christ has simply asked you to follow his role model. You can't be sinless, but he didn't ask you to do that. You can't die on the cross. But what he asked you to do is just follow the role model and surrender all to him. To do your best to be holy like him, to serve him the way he's asked you to do, and to surrender all to him. We sing this morning, you come, you fall on your face before God, and you surrender all to Christ.
This is the time this morning to get rid of all that baggage, to drop all that load, to get rid of all that stuff, to leave it all to Christ, to get rid of all of your excuses, to get rid of all the complaining and all the moaning and all the groaning. Because Christ has heard it all. There is nothing that you can say that He hasn't heard. All He wants to hear from you is yes. Yes, I'll be broken. Yes, I'll be obedient. And yes, I'll serve. Yes, I'll do whatever it is. Maybe you don't know what it is yet, but all He wants you to do this morning is to say, yes, I will do whatever it is you've called me to do. Yes, I'll do it. Our great Father God in heaven, as we rise this morning, as we rise to the call, as we rise to the challenge that has been set forth to surrender all, Lord, may we listen to Your Spirit. May we listen to Your call. May at this moment all of the excuses, all of the issues that we are hanging on to, may You just break all of those down. May You break all of those barricades. May we come now to Your altar, crying out to You at this moment, saying, I surrender all to You I freely give. All to You, Lord, I give. All to You. Let's stand. You come this morning. You come, give everything to God this morning as we sing, I surrender all. You come. You come pray here at the altar this morning. Come pray here at the front. You just come. Bring it all. Let's give it to God this morning. Lay it all at God's feet. Doesn't matter what it is. You just come now. Come. Come and lay it at God's feet this morning. Let's go. Come on.